presidents have all made, I think, very positive suggestions about participation, and the session was jointly sponsored with the past presidents, thinking that would be the place to definitely to begin. So let me speak a little bit about where the project is going, where it's headed. And let's see if I learned how to advance this. Oh, maybe it's up here. Oh, good, I've got it going in the right direction now. Left click should do it. So I agree with what Liz was saying. And these, incidentally, this is part of back to the why you need imagination and professionalism. I mean, there's a wealth of material that's clearly out there. And speaking about some of the images of public health, and particularly this is a woodcut that goes back to Harper's with liberty standing and cleanliness, Hygieia standing at the gates to ward away pestilence of the time. But it also is a commentary about this is related to the fact that these were popular issues with the press, to quote a phrase then and now, to borrow from two distinguished authors. And again, old-style pandemics, I used this in a talk in China, that these are not so far away. It happened to be in Guangdong province, the epicenter of new flu varieties. But again, this is from the pandemic of 1918. So there are many good illustrations out there, the rise of quarantine, the difficulties that were faced then as well with some of these controversial moves. And to me, a significant one was this picture of a health officer waving his heavy stick of sanitation. But it also shows the kind of dichotomy that we face in public health between those who are nurturing with our promotion and at the same time sending out an image that we must do of also being authoritative regulators of the health, and hence the whole issue of the Back to the Future. Just a few of the sources that Liz is just obviously incredibly rich. Here it is from the Pfizer series, The Faces of Public Health. The material that's available. ASPH, the Associations of Schools of Public Health, has just put out their history a year ago, written by Mike Gimmel. So we wanted to think about the inclusion. I think you raised a very important point, Liz, about context. The what we have doesn't set the our history in the larger issues, the tectonic plates that certainly would frame what took place. Again, and within sections, Growth of International Health, an excellent publication that came out from International Health Section. And I did the cholera online. I thought it was just stunning. And the amount of material that's there in an attractive and, as again, authoritative form, that liveliness does not compromise the authority, nor does authority make things always dull and dry, far from it. I wanted to say, though, that also as we look through this, that to remember that the history is a personal story, and it is telling our story. It's the foundation for us creating our future. So when we solicit ideas, I think it will be important to emphasize this notion that not only do we need the facts and to pull together these widely dispersed material and the variety of the media, but I think, as I read in Herodotus, being one of the, of course, the first recognized historians in the Western world, I have been properly brought to heel going to China and Asia about just when real history was written. again, that it was, it also had this notion of an ethical quest in it, and that in fact is part of our heritage, that we are, as I say, encapsulated in our seeking of health for all. And it certainly is woven of diverse strands, and it's critical, and this is coming to why we, what we will do to go forward from here, is engaging our members and our public health colleagues, because I've asked people, for example, Pat Libby and Nate Cho and others, and Paul Jarvis and Asto, to really start trying to bring in some of their history as that are part of the puzzle pieces. I know when traveling around, I was struck again by Harry S. Truman's statement, "There's nothing new under the sun other than the history you haven't read yet." And I think Santa Anna said it earlier and a little more eloquently, but nevertheless, we all love HST, and if for a direct man, that indeed this is a good statement of where we are. I noticed when going around that I can truthfully say feel my inadequacies about history, but I was appalled to find out how much less people knew than I did. And yet everywhere I went, very often there were state histories. And so some of the things are to generate this notion of really, again, Liz has summarized this much more professionally in an organized, professional way, about synthesizing it and updating our history. The first one was really to work on the published part of it, to bring the published hard copy up to date, but also the collateral utility of this and how members can participate in it. So we did want to have our diversity and outreach, the written histories, invite contributions. Again, Liz has summarized this, the notion of oral histories and some videography and the many multimedia that are out there. And we also wanted to have links. This is the idea of disseminating this, not to recreate what people have done more ably or organized in depth. So I think the notion of linking to sources, whether it's through Ted Brown or through Columbia or the many sources that are out there, South Florida are among them, and then the museum and collections to also help. It's amazing to and very gratifying to knock on someone's door. I went into the museum, the Wolfsonian Museum in Miami, and just asked them about political posts. They have a huge holding of posters and propaganda on various fields, using the old word propaganda where it originated from, to propagate the faith. And so again, there's just, this is from my ragtag conclusion. Of course, again, files of examples have taken from the history of the public health service, with the illustration being examinations in Ellis Island for immigrants, and also the effect, the many museums are out there, and I, as Debbie can, Klein Walker can testify to, she's recently gave a talk at the Public Health Museum in Massachusetts. And we had conversed about where else are there museums. We've talked about the National Health Museum, which is a building, and the various partners. So here are some of the examples, like the Public Health Museum of Texas, which is only right now is an online source. But for example, Florida is converting their old state health laboratory into a museum. So it's something where I think there is, to use the phrase, a lot of synergy. The first step, just to summarize, is to organize. I think Nancy is a start, and I think Liz gave us a good critique of the strengths and weaknesses of this. But there are many things that have obviously been left out of the times that have shaped the character and many of the characters that gave us our shape. And so again, we will start as we would with keeping some very direct priorities in mind in which to begin our organization. I've kept a list of contacts that I've made over the years and would hope we would start with that, with contributions from many others who know of sources I certainly don't know about. And again, we're just saying that our first step is the obvious one to begin to organize and synthesize. Step two, we did want to engage more, and again, this would be to appoint a guiding committee to develop the collection and identification plan. I think that would be critical. This is where the professional input and imagination is so critical to the steps. And to at least begin to fill in an update of our chronology of events. And again, as Liz referred to, do the important traditional things, but also the options that are available in the cyber age. And of course, the step three is just as our Stephen Smith intended, we should stay on message. I don't think he used that phrase quite in 1872, but I think that was what he wanted to do, and I think that was alluded to. And Liz mentioned, incidentally, the meet of engaging mayors, and that was Stephen Smith's requirement, that this meeting had to move around the country because it was a living billboard, a living forum to convert the public and the public leaders to public health. So indeed, that's something that's there. And so we do need a set of good diffusion plans and an open portal. And this is what we've talked about, where people can contribute things that we didn't know about or necessary or commentary on it. And of course, another original expression here, disseminate, disseminate, disseminate. I think that would be the purpose of this. Beyond the update is really, to me, what struck me is the public need for sources of education and also advocacy. And packages of material that can be made available that are authoritative and interesting, or links to them. And that's where this collateral utility of the history project really arose. The example that I would give of what we've talked about as a secondary use of the collection and keep in mind was the use of this as the source of an open courseware web structure. And again, we'll have some more experience from Fitz and also from Ted on this. But I will say that my marketing research was to go to community colleges. You know, something like 47% or more, depends on whose statistic you use, of all degrees after the given post-high school are given by community colleges. And that community colleges are, of course, a big feeder into higher education or other health, not only health professions, but general professions. So this is a source that is greatly underserved that I think could benefit from the experience. And, of course, the other was the K-12 project. Several people wrote in about this, about talking to their children about public health, and they couldn't find any material. This morning I had attended a breakfast, and Mary Woolery and others were talking about being able to get the message out to the population for Research America and others. The Union of Scientists were talking about this. And I recall having gone through many high school curriculum, and not once in anywhere in this was two words joined together, public and health, or community health, or anything about population. And it suddenly struck me we have a whole cadre, cohorts of children to young people, to young citizens who never heard this, even heard this phrase. And that's certainly a dangerous and certainly perilous situation that I think we can rectify. So it is the question of public health literacy, and I mentioned some of the informal market testing. What we wanted to do, and I'm really grateful for the panelists and speakers and those coming today, this is the first step to begin to put this together and begin an outreach and a plan and suggesting other sources. And one quote, I've never found the source to this that I've always enjoyed, is that we says as the following: we cannot change history, but we must study it to inform our future. And we cannot assure our future, but we must seek to influence it. And that's surely something that this association has always done and our history can do. And it is the making visible the invisible public health, the role of the health professions, both within ourselves and without. And I think the important lessons of this turbulent odyssey of public health as a field of science and practice, but a value and right and basic foundation of civic security and well-being. And incidentally, this is a theme that's been echoed in China under their notion of a harmonious society. And I did get a big applause in the talk that I gave in a forum because I mentioned the polls and had up the graphs of how much the American public feels the public health topics are important and the value of health. And this is exactly what came out of the 17th Party Congress that just recently concluded. So my punchline was that the American public agrees with the 17th Party Congress, and that got a big round of applause. I was referring to health, of course, on this. And the last thing I'll say is I just would like to end with a quote of Stephen Smith, also coming from Nancy Bernstein's book. But it's something that always struck me when I first learned this, that when in 1921, at age 98, he addressed the APHA members on their 50th anniversary of APHA, where he said, "So let us, on this most auspicious anniversary, look backward and learn the lessons of experience which it teaches before we take a step into the uncharted future." And I think that's a lot of what this project is about. Thank you.